Today's flag day, so if we could start off, could we all stand and just give a pledge of allegiance to the American flag? Place your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you. It's just good to be part of a good church, isn't it? A nice church with a loving family. My daughter Laren did it to Kish and I again. Dropped one on us, just struck us right in the heart. No, I'm not talking about wounding us with her words or something drastic she did. Laren brought us a dog that touched both of our hearts. Actually, we're fostering the dog, but may end up owning it. Seems like every dog we've owned so far that has come and gone has been the product of Laren's adoption services. Now this particular dog has the small body of a beagle and the head of a pit bull. So it best resembles one of those cartoon dogs that has those big jaws and sharp teeth. And it usually you see on the cartoons that chases a mailman or a house thief, and then you just hear this big crunch sound as the dog takes a big chunk out of the target. But this dog isn't aware of its capabilities, even though it has like a head of a pit bull. It is half pit, because it's been nurtured in a loving environment. And it seems like there's been no hostile actions taken to awaken this beast that's within it. And so as this dog's sitting on my lap and as I watch TV, I just have to wonder, as I'm looking in those eyes of this small beagle dog with the pit bull face, looking in my eyes, that those massive jaws are just capable of tearing my face off, of inflicting harm or deadly wounds, but yet all I get from this mud is just a face bath showing its affection to me, that it just loves me so much. And so it's just an amazing, amazing thing how something in a nurturing environment can change something so much. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, one time saw his dog, he saw a dog one time when he was at the zoo being beaten by a man, because this man, he had boasted about how obedient that his dog was, and he made a bet that to another fella that his dog was so obedient, but he lost the bet because he couldn't get his dog to do what he asked him to do. And he was so mad that he lost this bet that he just started beating his dog, just beating him mercilessly. And finally, after this dog was wounded and bleeding and whimpering and just crying, the man just got so disgusted with the dog that as he passed the lion's cage, he just decided just to get rid of the dog and just to throw him inside the lion's cage, just to get rid of him. And so this poor whimpering dog that has been beaten and pitiful was standing there just shaking the legs in this presence of this great lion. And so the lion walks over to this dog and starts to sniff the dog. And then all of a sudden the lion does something unusual. He starts to lick the dog. And the dog cowers and he lays down. And then all of a sudden the lion just lays down beside him and just starts to keep the dog warm and starts to lick the dog's wounds. And the man, after a little while, he watches this and he starts to feel sorry for his dog, and so he tags one of the zoo employees, and he asks him, he said, he wants his dog back, can I have my dog back? And so the zoo employees gets hold of one of the other employees who's in charge of the lion's cage, and he gets one of the zoo employees, and the one that's in charge of the lion cage saw the man beat his dog. So he goes up to the man, he says, fine, he says, you can have your dog back. He says, but you're going to have to go in there and get him yourself. And you know, that's kind of the way it is with you and I. We've been beaten and bruised and battered in a lot of ways by sins and sin. And now the lion, from the tribe of Judah, who is Jesus, has taken us in and has healed our wounds. And now he protects us from the enemy that once enslaved us. And he's like that. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. That's the very back of the Bible. Revelation chapter 13. Scriptures today may seem confusing at first, but I believe you'll see the truth come out in the next few moments as we begin to understand the Scriptures as they're opened up. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 talks about a dragon coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on one of his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were written blasphemous names. And then I want to start at verse 3, Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, where it reads that in verse 3, it says, "I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast." In verse 4 it says, "They worshipped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him?'" In verse 5, "There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and the authority to act for 42 months was given to him." Now, back in verse 3, it reads that there was a fatal or a mortal wound, and that the fatal or mortal wound was healed. And today, that's kind of what I like to speak about, is our wounds and our scars that we have in our life. And while this particular scripture that we read, Bible teachers and scholars and commentaries say that this is dealing with the Antichrist, and I certainly believe that these verses talk about a coming world dictator that is soon looming over the horizon. But I can't say for certain what these heads symbolize to us. Some translate it to mean that the Antichrist will be shot or assassinated and then suddenly come back to life. We don't know. Nobody can say with absolute certainty. No one knows for sure. Some people say it's one of 7 great nations that will be completely wiped out and then suddenly rise back to power again in the end times. But no one knows for sure. And then, of course, there's people like me that don't have a clue what this verse means. But except for the fact that sometimes when you read God's Word, even in the book of prophecy sometimes, there's the inspired Word of God, and He speaks to you in a way that pertains to your life and has a message for it. But I want to show you today that the point more than anything else is that there was a wound. There was a deadly wound, a wound that was designed to bring about death, that would cause harm, and that would leave a mark on your life. And just as it said in the Scriptures. And it's a picture of most people. Most people, because I think everyone here today that can hear me has or will sometime in their life has suffered a hurt or suffered wounds, suffered disappointment, suffered wounds that should have or could have and possibly could kill if they are not healed. Because the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because the devil does not fight fair at all. Because the devil will not give up until you're wounded or scarred to death. And if you let him, he'll wound you. He'll attack you. And it's problem after problem, if it's issue after issue, because the devil's intent is to deliver a deadly wound to you, a deadly wound until he actually just wounds you to death. He hits you there. He hits you here. He'll come after your kids. And if he can't get you there, he'll come after your spouse. He'll come after your parents, young people. You coming back from Falls Creek, you know, just excited about God. And you come home and maybe your parents or your friends will do something to you. He'll get you there. He just keeps trying to do what he does best, and that's to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does his best to try to wound people. When you read the book of Job, you can see how Satan operates. He wounded Job over and over again, endlessly, trying to wound him with a deadly wound with the intent to make him to just curse God and give it all up. Let me ask you something today. When was the last time that you saw God do something really fantastic? I mean, something that just astounded you. Maybe even a real miracle before your eyes. Anybody? Raise your hand. You know, because if you haven't seen one before, or maybe it's been quite some time, just look to your left and look to your right around here. Because I want you to realize that you're looking at a whole church full of miracles this morning. In the sanctuary right now. I mean, really. I mean, there are people here today, there are families who are sitting among you who have had so many problems in their life. There are some even sitting close by you today who has gone through a sickness or may even still be battling one. I mean, there's people here today that have buried their own children or who have lost a loved one recently, who have been wounded, who have been hurt. Some have even had their homes devastated through storms, tornadoes. But they're still here. That's a miracle. They're still worshiping. They're still praising God. And they're still shouting. And they're still believing. And they're still holding on. And if you've been wounded, and if you've been scarred and you're still here, then you should be giving God a praise and a testimony. Because we are alive in Christ and we are still proof that God can still heal. And I'm still believing that He can still heal today. And I hope you do too. Because the devil, he can huff and he can puff and he can try to blow our houses down. But greater is He who is within us than he who is within the world. The wounds of life that the enemy tries to send, he'll try to destroy us, are sent for one purpose, and that's to destroy you. To inflict that deadly wound that just tries to kill your soul, that tries to kill your worship, that tries to kill your joy, that just try to kill your dream, that tries to kill your marriage, or kill your family. You know, in Luke chapter 22:31, Peter was warned by Jesus. And Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has the desire to sift you. He wants to wound you with a really deadly wound." And Jesus goes on to tell Peter, he says, "But I have prayed for you. I am praying for you that your faith will not fail." In other words, Jesus was saying that, "Peter, the devil wants to do everything he can to keep the microphone out of your hands on the day of Pentecost. And he's going to wound you. And when, not if, but when that you are converted and healed of that wound, then what I want you to do is I want you to go find your brothers and I want you to strengthen them with your faith." Meaning that when you're healed of your deadly wound and your deadly attack, it's going to open up a brand new opportunity for you to help someone else. Because prayer still makes the difference. I don't know if you believe that, but prayer still makes the difference. So much so that Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus didn't touch Peter on the head and say, "There's your power." He prayed for Peter. And Jesus said, "I'm praying for you that your wound, which the enemy will cause in striking you, Peter, does not destroy your faith. Healing will come. Restoration will come." Let me say that again in case you missed it. Healing will come if you won't give up. But there is an enemy that wants to destroy you, to destroy your faith. Isaiah 53 puts it like this, that he was pierced through for our transgressions. Two important words there. He and pierced, or wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed or bruised for us. for himself, and now we are the body of Christ. Do you think it's a possibility that your wound or your attack may not be intended for you necessarily? But it may not necessarily be about you. Could it possibly be that you might be going through hell today so that your wound, that somebody else can be healed tomorrow? I mean, Webster defines a wound like this, as being an injury to a body, and many of you in this room have been injured in body and in spirit. But either, you know, in many ways, either by divorce or wounded by bankruptcy or layoff, or maybe it's an untimely death of a family member, or maybe your wound is not being able to see your kids all the time, maybe it's every other weekend, or maybe even not at all. Or maybe your wound is a spouse that admits that he or she is no longer in love with you. Maybe your wound is just being betrayed by a close friend or a relative. Or maybe your wound is an addiction to alcohol, drugs, or some other substance, or maybe there's trouble with your kids or violence in your life. We all have wounds in our life, deadly wounds. And they seem sometimes like they can never be healed. But notice what happens in Revelation 13 in verse 3 when the deadly wound was healed. It says that all the people wondered. In the King James Version, at least, it says they wondered. And then in verse 4, it says they worshipped. And then in verse 5, it says a mouth was given to speak, so they witnessed. And then in verse 7, down further, it says they went to war. So after the healing, after overcoming the wound, notice the progression that took place in these verses. Verse 3, the wonder came back. Verse 4, then the worship. And then verse 5, then the witness. And then verse 7, and then the war. That's what the enemy wants to do through these verses. Notice you can't wage a strong war without a strong witness. And you can't have a strong witness without a true personal worship going on in your life with God. And you'll never have worship in your life without the wonder and awe of a true majestic God. And the danger of this is you can never get to that place or do battle against the enemy or do any defeat of him because it's all connected to the wound about not being healed. Because when you have wounds that are not healed, you start to lose the wonder and awe of God. And when you lose the wonder and awe of how God is, it affects your worship. You can't really worship right. And then you lose your worship and you start to lose your witness because you really don't have anything to witness about. And then you really can't fight spiritually against the devil because you don't have anything to witness about. And then you're no longer in any place of advantage to fight. Because the enemy, what he does then is he comes and he places a bitter seed down inside your spirit. And the seed starts to grow, and you nurture that seed, and you allow it to grow, and then soon the seed starts to poison your spirit, and it begins to fester and flourish, and that wound just stays there, and you become a defeated child of God. And the devil has his victory. So we have a lot of children of the kingdom, walking around defeated, wounded, today, that are unhappy and that are miserable, and the devil has just won his war. The reason that there's no wonder is because the deadly wounds haven't been healed. And I'm saying to you that wounded people truly cannot worship because hurting people hurt people. Wounded people live in the past because God wants to reintroduce that wonder in their life. That's why when so many young people go down to Falls Creek, they separate themselves from the world for a week and they get out of that place or environment and they find the wonder and awe of how God is. and it restores their witness, and they're able to worship, and they're able to do battle again. And he wants to see that, and it's not God's will for this wound to kill you. And it doesn't have to be a deadly wound, because God can heal even scrapes, scratches, and even small irritations. Wednesday night we talked about trials and irritations as we begin the book of James, and Kisha mentioned her irritation, and no, it wasn't me, but she said that it never fails, but she's destined always to be in the longest line in the grocery store whenever she pulls up the grocery cart. And even when she goes for the short line, it seems like the longer line always speeds up. I don't know if you've been there or not, but that's where she does. And then Lori Bellflower spoke up, and then she said that she has learned to overcome the enemy in this particular area, because what she does is she doesn't let the enemy wound her or irritate her or in that area. What she does is she always lets someone go in front of her, because she feels this frustration beginning to take place. So she says, okay, the enemy is really trying to get me now. So she'll find someone and say, would you like to go in front of me? So she has victory over that. So the moral of this story is the next time you see Lori at a grocery store, just cut on in front of her and just say, I'm helping to minister to you. It's not God's will for you to lose any joy. It's not God's will for you to let any wound inflicted upon your life to take away your joy. We need the wonder, and we need the worship, we need the witness, and we need to be able to wage war against the enemy that so desperately wants us defeated, to come back alive in our souls. And this is going to only happen when these wounds become healed. So how do we get this wound healed? And number one, we got to realize that you're not the only person to be wounded. That somebody just like you has gone through just as big of a situation, and they were wounded, and they're still victorious today. Jesus, he received wounds at Calvary, but 3 days later, then there was a resurrection. And when he rose from the dead, people began to wonder. And then they started to worship. And then people started to witness. And then the war started for men's souls, and this deadly wound was healed. And then all of a sudden, a church was birthed. And the whole entire world was changed. And I'm saying to you today, that's why the devil tries to keep you offended. That's why the devil tries to keep you hurt, to try to keep you wounded, to try to keep you mad, to try to keep you upset, because he knows that if you can ever get wounded or ever get healed of your wound, and that if you don't get it healed, it can become a deadly wound, but to kill the joy in your life. But he knows that if you ever get it healed of those deadly wounds, just like Jesus did, that lives all around you will be altered and changed. Because when you survive your deadly wounds, healing becomes a must. You've got to overcome this. You've got to get in the presence until every hurt, every wound is bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Every hurt, every unforgiveness, every issue, every offense is cleansed and washed in the blood of Jesus. And you come out saying, I love everybody. People around me don't offend me anymore. It's good enough for me. It's got to be good enough for you, because it's not easy. But when you do it, when you submit and let Jesus bathe you and cleanse you of that wound, he said, there's a powerful verse in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. It's a powerful promise to people who have been wounded. It says, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be 7 times brighter. Like the light of 7 days on the day of the Lord binds the fracture of his people and heals the bruise of the afflicted or his wounds. He said that your night will become like day, and your day will become 7 times brighter when you let me heal your wounds. Night will become like daytime in your family and in your home. And daytime will become seven times brighter. I like that word seven because it means that in God's Word, and God's Word assures us that if the thief is found, He has to restore to us seven times whatever the enemy has taken. And when you let God heal that wound, and how do you know you're healed? You know you're healed whenever you can hear that person's name or whenever you can hear that particular situation and you don't hate them anymore or it doesn't offend you anymore. You don't get upset anymore. That's when you know you're healed. And don't tell me that God can't do it, because it's not an option. God said, if you don't, I won't. If you will, I will. If you release healing, I will release healing. It's that important. But He said to those who would let me heal their wounds, He said, I will give your days seven times brighter in clarity. I will give your days that your nighttime will be like daytime. You won't be walking around in the dark anymore. You know, an interesting thing is that Jesus was healed of His deadly wounds, but He was not healed of His scars. You ever notice that? The scars became a testimony of God's ability to heal. When Jesus arose from the dead, He was healed of His deadly wounds, but God did not take His scars away. You know, a lot of times when we want healing, we want complete restoration where nobody knows that we ever had an issue. We want such restoration that nobody knows that our perfect lives were ever imperfect. We want everybody to think that we have the picture-perfect family, the picture-perfect marriage, the picture-perfect life. And there's nothing wrong because of my great faith that nothing ever has come to my home. The scars are a testimony of God's ability to heal deadly wounds. Scars mean, this is what I overcame. This is how bad it was, and this is how God heals me. And I'm not ashamed of my scars. Because when Jesus walked up into the upper room after He arose from the dead, He said, you know, some people just need to see my scars, Thomas, or they'll never ever believe. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, it says, the Jews will not believe until they say, who put these wounds into your hands? And then He'll answer, I was wounded in the house of my friends. And then all of a sudden, the Jews will get the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that was crucified in His own house, the Messiah. But they will not believe until they see His scars from His wounds. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, there was this little boy who decided to go for a swim on an old swimming hole behind his house. And in a hurry to hurry up and go swimming because he was excited, he ran out the back door. He left off his shoes and socks and shirt, and he just bolted out. He flew into the water, and he didn't realize as he swam toward the middle of the lake that there was an alligator on the other side swimming to him also. And his mother, who was in the house doing dishes, saw what was happening out there. She saw the two getting closer and closer together. So in utter fear, she runs out the back door, running toward the water and yelling at her son as loudly as she can. And hearing the voice of his mother, the boy suddenly became scared. He still doesn't know what's happening, but he does a U-turn and starts to swim back toward his mom. But it was too late, because just as the boy reaches his mom, the alligator reached the boy also. And there from the fishing dock, the mother grabs her little boy's arms just in time as the alligator grabs the boy's legs also. and then becomes this incredible tug of war between the two. But the alligator was much stronger than the mother. But the mother was much too passionate to let go. And the farmer who happened to be driving by, he heard all these screams and commotion, raced from his truck, and he took careful aim and he shot the alligator. And remarkably, after weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived, and his legs were extremely scarred from these alligator bites and a vicious attack from the animal. And on his arms were these deep scratches where his mother's fingernails had just dug into his flesh in an effort to hang on to the son she loved. And later on, a newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked him to see the scars from the alligator on his legs. And the little boy lifted up his pant legs with obvious pride to show to the reporter about the alligator bite marks. But then he said, "But look at my arms." He said, "I have great scars on my arms too because my mom wouldn't let me go. Because she loves me." And I'm saying to you today, quit covering your scars because they remind you of what you've been healed of. Wear them as a badge of honor. Because a scar proves how at some point, praise God, a scar simply reminds you of how stronger that you were than whatever tried to hurt you was. You know, I'd be nuts to walk around here acting like that I've never had any marriage problems. I guess you and I have the perfect picture marriage. That we've never had any family issue problems. That my two daughters were always sweet. Or that life ever comes crashing down at my house. Or even in this church family at Prayer of Faith. I'd be stupid to do that. So what you've got to do is you've got to look the devil square in the face and you say, "You see these scars? They're proof of what you tried to do best. These mortal wounds that you tried to wipe me out, to destroy my family." And then you find in Revelation 12:11, where it reads that they overcame the evil one because of the blood of the Lamb, blood of Jesus, and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even unto death. Because I serve a God that heals deadly wounds. So quit acting like you're perfect. Stop being so prideful. So you can't let anybody know that you got dents in your life, scrapes on your soul, scars on yourself. You know, I work at a hospital, and time to time I work with the media that want to interview patients and their doctors. Doctors say that there's two things that are critical for wounds to heal. Number one, as they say, leave the wound uncovered so it helps it dry, it helps it heal. So if you want to get your wound healed, uncover that thing. Stop covering it up. Second thing they say is that bleeding helps clean the wound out. In other words, just stop covering it up and let the blood flow. Every time you come in here to worship God, just rip that Band-Aid off and say, "Well, come on, Jesus, let the blood flow. Change me, transform me, cleanse me, heal me. Help me get this bitterness out. Get the fear out. Get these thoughts out of my head that are just bad. Suicide, I don't care what you're thinking. Just get these things out of me. Heal my wounds, oh God. Change me." Got to remember that the church is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints. Church, we've got to quit playing God games. You can't shout over your wounds. You can't witness. You can't worship. Much less go to war with the enemy if you're wounded. Because you'll lose the wonder of your Christianity if you allow these wounds and hurts and cuts to get you to the place where you become bitter. And I want to say to every person here today, and I'm not denying that wounds are very real. And you may feel that you're at your wit's end and don't know what you're doing. But if you've been wounded or hurt and feel like giving up, because I know I've been there. But I want to say today that you won't find the answers in the things that you've been trying. Because Jesus has always been there with you with this familiar voice that you've heard saying, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Because I can heal you if you will only let me." He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes and wounds we are healed. We might have scars on our bodies from the battlefield or some other event that shows us that Jesus Christ would never let go of us. And if you don't know, let me just tell you, Jesus will never ever let you go because He loves you that much. But the marks from our bodies and our souls are not from ours, but they're His when you place your hand in the nail-scarred hand, because you're not only receiving healing for eternity by having everlasting life, but you're also receiving healing for the present from these invisible wounds that we have or hide inside us that affect our visible lives to those who are around us that we see and work with and are around and love every day. As we stand today and our prayer counselors come forward, the testimony of a scar can only begin with the healing of a wound. And if you've been wounded or still wounded today, today is the time to take that step to get healed. If you've been wounded and have a scar, today is that day to begin testifying to someone about that scar. To quit hiding it and to act like everything's perfect, but to testify. Someone may need that testimony to help them carry through. So after I pray, if God's speaking to you this morning, if through this message a wound has popped up in your mind and your spirit, it's time to get healed. The doctor's office is open and your number has been called. That's the Spirit quickening your heart. You can choose to go home and let it fester, or you can begin taking steps to get it healed. Father, we come to you this morning. You are the great healer. You are the great physician. And we come to you asking to heal our wounds through you who have already healed it. You will pierce through our transgressions. And Father, you were bruised for our iniquities through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for providing that healing. And through his blood, through your blood, Jesus, we are cleansed and healed. And we accept that this morning. And we come in faith, claiming that for our lives. Give it to us as the balm of Gilead to apply to us for complete restoration, to walk with confidence in your light, to surround us with holiness and things of godliness, to step out in faith and walk with as kingdom kids and not children of the world. Father, to everyone here today who needs healing, I would ask that you would just quicken their heart. Show them the way. In your name I pray. Today, if the Spirit's leading you, follow through with that. Step out today as we sing.
This is Chesney Gray, and in 2 weeks she is going to be undergoing some heart surgery. And so I'm just asking that you would pray over her and over her entire family and over the doctors and the staff that's going to be at the hospital. And so I'm asking right now that you would join me in prayer for healing over Chesney. So, most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, right now we just come before you with Chesney. I ask that you would lift her up and that you would heal her heart and heal her body, Lord God. Lord God, that you would be with her during the surgery and that you would just comfort her during her difficult and scared times, Lord God. That you would be with her family, her mom and her dad, and that you'd put a layer of comfort and protection over them as well. That you would be with the doctors and the surgeons and the nurses that would interact with her and that would be doing the surgery, Lord God, and that you would be the ones that would guide their hands, Father. I'm asking that you would just be with her and her family.
Back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming.
Thank you.
The more I love
you. Thank you all for coming today to worship. Like to say that healing of your wounds are so important. And there comes a place in your life when a wound will surface that has been there, and God will let you know. He'll bring it before you to when it becomes so infectious that it starts to dissipate the relationship further between you and God. He says, you need to get this taken care of. You need to fall on your knees because this is hurting us. You need to get that healed because if you don't, it blocks that wall off. Spiritual infection begins. Bitterness happens. Beauty is when it's healed, it's healed. God is a God of healing. God is a God of forgiveness. And once you have truly been forgiven, how do I know truly? Is when you place it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's so important to place it under the blood of Jesus Christ, because under there, the devil can't pull it back up or show it in your face. Can't mess with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's powerful stuff. Once it's under there, it's gone and forgotten. And you're healed. And you step forward in confidence and faith as a kingdom child. And you're able to wage war against the enemy and help others and lift them up, strengthen them. And you have a scar. You're left with a scar. But it's not to mar you, it's to be a testifying factor. Don't try to cover it up. Use it to help you. Father, we just thank you for your love, your unending mercies. You're so compassionate to us, Father. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your kindness. And Father, I just continue to pray for this loving, loving church family. Has so much love for its protection and for its confidence and for its just outreaching loving arms, that we continue to do so. Help us to continue to walk in you. And if there would be anything that's hurting or harming them, Father, I would just pray that you would heal them, protect them, and help them walk in confidence as we progress further for your church, Jesus Christ. And all the church said, amen. God bless you all.